Coming up right now on the program, fantastic. We're honored to have Greg Sankey joining us, SEC Commissioner. Thank you for your time this morning.
Absolutely. We're going to stand up for the interview. I've been sitting down.
We've been up since so early that sometimes you just start.
I have a standing desk in my office for that reason.
Yeah. There's lots of studies about it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're big into the whole physical health.
I never thought I'd stand all day at a desk, but I stand all day at a desk now. Mine goes up and down, but I leave it up. Nobody cares on the other end of the radio about that.
Well, usually one of us will stand up, and then once one is stood, the other one's like, fine.
It's the herd mentality, yeah. Commissioner. That's what it is.
I just outed you for standing up during radio broadcast.
That's fantastic. So now that you and I have just met, I'm going to just come right out with a difficult question, okay? Because last year, obviously, the handling of the LSU-Florida rescheduling was not a dream situation. I think the media sort of exploded over it. Now that you're where you are, if you had that moment to do over again, how would you handle it differently?
Well, that was well said. Not a dream moment. I think it's easy to Monday morning quarterback, but there were realities happening with Category 4 hurricane moving up the Florida coast, the movement of public safety personnel out of the Gainesville area, which dictated certain things. If you had the opportunity last year at this time to designate authority for the commissioner to just place it like I have now, sure, that would be easy. But don't think that we weren't talking about those things, but the membership didn't say, do that. They said, we've always been able to work it out. We just came to an impasse. We had the game played, really good game that we had played, and we'll move forward and, you know, hope for good weather, but prepare that there could be not just weather issues, but any matter of public safety as world events change around us that we're attentive to.
You know, what I love about the way you operate, Commissioner, is the big picture thinking. And you did a lot of talking during your opening statement about the history of the league and how rich it is. And you mentioned Perry Wallace, which we obviously in Nashville are huge fans of his story. And all this big picture stuff about the past and the future. When you look 15, 20 years down the road, which is how you have to operate as a commissioner, what is the biggest issue for college athletics? We're dealing with all this stuff with pay for play and all this other. It's very, very complicated. How do you handle that, and what is the biggest issue moving forward in 20 years from now?
There are three that I'd bring top of mind, but let me just go back and say the history of this league is critically important for us to remember and honor. And that's why I could talk about all kinds of policy issues Monday, but I think it's absolutely vital that we honor people who helped affect change and who positioned us where we are today in many ways. And since we have this 50th anniversary, both of Nate Northington at Kentucky and of Perry playing varsity at Vanderbilt, I think it's important to talk about that. But looking forward 15 years, sometimes you inform that by looking back 15 years. And what you realize is the pace of change is progressing much more rapidly than it was back in 2002. You know, from 2002 to 2012 was somewhat steady state, a lot of tweaking. From 2012 to 2017, rapid change, conference membership change, media landscape change, litigation. And so I look at those and say, if I look out 15 years at the big picture items, the media landscape ought to be front and center because that's evolving rapidly, how people consume content, how they watch our games, how they engage in our stadiums with some of that availability and how that changes our thinking. That's one. The second is we have any number of points of litigation. We need to move through those. I believe our universities host our athletic programs. Education is at the center of what we do. This is not professional athletics. This is not semi-professional athletics. This is college athletics. The model adapts and changes over time. We provide cost of attendance now, so there's more money flowing to support student athletes. You look at facilities, and people say it's an arms race. Yet when Apple builds a new facility, it's not an arms race. It's what they need to do to support their programs. And that's what happens on our campuses. And so Vanderbilt's done work on their baseball venue and the support structure there. They worked on McGugan, and that's all part of supporting young people. So I think the litigation's third, and that young person piece, how we engage with student athletes is important. I've gotten to know Oren Burks well. We see each other in the hallway here.
We asked him about that. We said, it's a good relationship to have, Oren. You should know the commissioner.
Yeah, it's a good relationship for me because that's a perspective. And he said, we had almost 70 student athletes in town this weekend talking through policy issues. Oren wasn't there, but he said, what happened? Because he's interested in that. What were the issues? And we talked about the 14-week football season, about the recruiting structure in football, and making sure we continue to receive input from our Football Student Athlete Leadership Council, and then the issue of preparing for the next phase of life, which he's doing quite well
at.
He'll
be fine. So,
yeah, I mean, he may be a consultant for me someday.
Well, he does a far better job tying a bow tie than I can ever figure
out.
Yeah,
same. I've tried it twice, and it wasn't nearly as neat as his.
It's Braden and Fitz. We're talking to SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. So let me ask you, because part of what you just talked about was listening to the voice of players and administrations, there's also a voice of the fan that seems to get louder and louder in SEC football especially. That voice is screaming a lot about realignment. You made it clear in your statements a couple of days ago that's not something you guys are talking about. How much do you weigh what the schools want versus the voice of the fan that seems to get louder versus what's best for everybody when you decide on what to discuss?
Yeah, let me separate the two issues. So let's just talk about divisional alignment. I actually don't hear that from fans. That was a radio interview with a former head football coach at Auburn who introduced the issue in May when conference expansion gets talked about. It's like a revolving door of issues every year. It's May. We're going to talk about expanding the playoff, expanding conferences, and divisional alignment. Yeah, sure. You would never have, from my perspective, a single conversation about one element of football scheduling. It just wouldn't reduce it to just this one element. And the best example is we went through a wide-ranging dialogue in 2013-14 as a league with our athletics directors, our presidents, and our chancellors after expansion to say, here's all the options. And by all, I mean all the options. Number of games, alignment, who plays in the championship game. And our membership said, what we do works really well. And by the way, the evidence suggests that's the right place. We've been in 10 of 11 national championship games, won 8 national championships during that period of time. We've had 4 different teams access the national championship game. And if you remember in 2012, Georgia was about 4 yards away from winning our championship playing Notre Dame, and they probably would have been the national championship. So that's how close we are. That's how well supported we are. And then out of that 13-14 conversation, we added the requirement that a 9th game be against a colleague conference, a high-level opponent. And that produces Alabama, Florida State. Kansas State's coming in to Vanderbilt. Tennessee's playing Georgia Tech. Kentucky's always played Louisville, but then Florida, Michigan, BYU, LSU, North Carolina State, South Carolina. I'm leaving some out, but, you get the gist that if you do some of these changes, you wouldn't just do one, you'd look broadly. We've done that and said we're in the right place, and the evidence that suggests we made the right decision. Now, we're attentive to fans, though, and one of the learning experiences yesterday was what I saw from Mercedes-Benz Stadium and how intentional they've been at asking the fans for feedback. And Rich McKay said they had, I think, 5,000 total in this cohort, both their soccer fans and the football fans, to say, what do you want in a venue? And we've had a fan experience working group over the last 5 or 6 years that we've talked about kind of re-engineering how we address things. What we've done in the past is and we still conduct fan surveys, what's on their mind, concession prices, concession lines, clean restrooms, ingress and egress into the stadium area. We've changed our video in stadium. So if you go back probably 5, 6 years now, we didn't show replays that are, controversial plays. We said shut them down because there was fear. Hey, you can look at your phone and see it. Yeah. Might be 20 seconds later, but you're going to see the play. So let's put it on the Jumbotron that we spend so much time on so people can see in real time and then experience the reaction, because that's one thing you don't feel at home is that fervor around the game, and we want to make sure that's special, and that's part of listening to fans. So hopefully that's a long but thorough conversation about those two issues.
Real quickly, and you've been very outspoken on the recruiting calendar, and you talked about it a little bit in your announcement this week about I guess my question is, because now we've got the early signing period, we're going to work through and test that out. We've got all the new June visits and all that good stuff. It's a very massive conversation, but very quickly, is the hay out of the barn on the recruiting calendar, there's no way we can push it back, right?
Well, I think the hay's out of the barn on certain elements. The expectation, the commitment is to look at what's happened in over 2 years' time. That's why we appointed a subgroup to just look at what's happening really, and what is it that we want. I think that's part of the key. It's fine to say we don't like something, but then you have to say, what do we want? And I think there are some behaviors that could develop that are concerning that may make us alter where we are. Now, I'm in the minority on that, which is where I say the hay's out of the barn.
Right.
I'm firmly convinced we're still going to recruit at a high level. But pushing things earlier and having less academic information, less interaction, seems the exact opposite of what coaches nationally have said they've wanted for years. And that's why I've consistently made the observation. I don't think the signing period is really, it sounds nice, but it's not where we want to go based on all that's been discussed.
Yep.
Fantastic stuff. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, we appreciate your time.
Yep.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Good to see you guys.
Thanks, Greg.